Before we hear from God's holy word, let's pray together. As we come to your holy word today, Lord, change us that we may come to love you and our neighbors and all of life more. Amen. Please, open your Bibles and listen, for these are the very words of God, first coming from Psalm 71, verses 1 through 18. In you, O Lord, do I take refuge. Let me never be put to shame. In your righteousness, deliver me and rescue me. Incline your ear to me and save me. Be to me a rock of refuge to which I may continually come. You have given the command to save me, for you are my rock and my fortress. Rescue me, O my God, from the hand of the wicked, from the grasp of the unjust and cruel man. For you, O Lord, are my hope, my trust, O Lord, from my youth. Upon you I have learned from before my birth. You are he who took me from my mother's womb. My praise is continually of you. I have been as a potent to many, but you are my strong refuge. My mouth is filled with your praise and with your glory all the day. Do not cast me off in the time of old age. Forsake me not when my strength is spent. For my enemies speak concerning me. Those who watch for my life consult together and say, God has forsaken him. Pursue and seize him, for there is none to deliver him. O God, be not far from me. O my God, make haste to help me. May my accusers be put to shame and consumed with scorn and disgrace. May they be covered who seek my hurt. But I will hope continually and will praise you yet more and more. My mouth will tell of your righteous acts, of your deeds of salvation all the day, for their number is past my knowledge. With the mighty deeds of the Lord God, I will come. I will remind them of your righteousness, yours alone. O God, from my youth you have taught me, and I still proclaim your wondrous deeds. So even to old age and gray hairs, O God, do not forsake me until I proclaim your might to another generation, your power to all those to come. Now, please turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, starting at verse 31. But honestly desire the higher gifts, and I will show you a skill more excellent way. If I speak in tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I am a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. And if I have prophetic powers and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith so as to remove mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. If I give away all that I have, and if I deliver up my body to be burned, but have not love, I gain nothing. Love is patient and kind. Love does not envy or boast. It is not arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It's not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice at wrongdoing, but rejoices with the truth. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never ends. As for prophecies, they will pass away. As for tongues, they will cease. As for knowledge, it will pass away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when the perfect comes, the partial will pass away. When I was a child, I spoke like a child. I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. When I became a man, I gave up childish ways. For now, we see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face. Now I know in part. Then I shall know fully, even as I've been fully known. So now, faith, hope, and love abide, these three, but the greatest of these is love. Brothers and sisters, these are the very words of God. Thanks be to God. Today, I want to share a little confession with you. I really enjoy listening to sports talk radio. I love all the bantering and debating about players, games, and teams, just like anyone else, especially when it comes to the best university ever, University of Michigan Sports. Go Blue, of course. That's right. But if you've ever tuned in to sports radio, you probably realize that there are few things as frivolous, in all honesty, as sports talk radio. Thinking back, I recall listening to the radio, where the hosts were discussing a minor controversy over an ad CBS planned to air during the Super Bowl a few years back. You may even remember this Super Bowl ad. It was, as you may have seen, a quick 30-second commercial featuring a young man named Tim Tebow and his mother. For those who might not be familiar with sports, Tim Tebow was an incredible college quarterback for the University of Florida Gators. He was a big deal in college sports, arguably one of the greatest football players in the school's history. And a few years back, he won the Heisman Trophy, a top honor in college football. He led his team to a national championship and nearly missed winning a second, and then nearly a third. Tim Tebow is also a deeply committed Christian. Along with his parents, he often travels worldwide to participate in missionary work, especially helping those in great need. Interestingly, when his mother, Pam, was pregnant with him, doctors advised her to consider an abortion because they doubted both she and the baby would survive. The doctors also believed that if they made it through, Tim might not grow up to be healthy or mentally stable. However, as we can see, all the doctors were incredibly mistaken on all counts, just as such predictions too often are. That was what the ad was about during the Super Bowl a couple years back, that the doctors were incredibly wrong about the predicaments for this mother and child, and the great importance of every single child, especially those most innocent, the unborn living human beings in the womb. That ad during the Super Bowl sparked quite a bit of debate and strong feelings, especially among groups that sinfully advocate for the right to abort a child defined as living, even when the medical community correctly knows and defines a fetus as a living human being. When I turned on the radio, I caught a discussion on the sports talk show asking, do we really want an ad on a topic like this during a football game, especially at our Super Bowl? Essentially, they were questioning whether we should be discussing something as profound as human dignity in the context of something as meaningless as a game. I was listening to this in my car, and just as I was about to pull into my driveway, I heard this gem of an answer from a caller. I'll never forget it. He said, "You know, man, all I want to do is watch the game. I want beer, women, and fun in my commercials. I don't want to think about what's going on. I just want to watch the game." When I was a child, I spoke like a child. I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. When we consider matters that truly hold significance, like human dignity and the priceless value of every single human person, from conception to a natural last breath, our culture is childish. We just want to watch the game. We don't want to think about these deeper issues. Yet the words of the Apostle Paul, inspired by God, the creator of you, me, and every individual, including those in the womb, still speak to us today. Many couples preparing to get married choose to have 1 Corinthians chapter 13 that we read today read during their wedding service as they enter into a godly covenantal marriage, even though these verses have very little to do with marriage in their immediate context. In these words from 1 Corinthians chapter 13, God is trying to say to you and to me that what every human life needs to thrive is God's covenantal love. This week, as I was praying with the Holy Scriptures, I realized that there are two simple facts in life, two simple truths about life. First, people are made to be loved with godly love and truth. And second, things are made to be used. People are meant to be loved with godly love and truth, and things are to be used. Unfortunately, we often love things and use people, leading to a culture like ours where human dignity is repeatedly undermined. Whether through abortion, prostitution, pornography, slave labor, euthanasia, the sweatshops producing much of our goods, war and its immense suffering, or the neglect and indifference towards the poor. All these issues happen all around us, impacting so many lives in many, many destructive, evil, and sinful ways. Sadly, these realities often become just part of our everyday surroundings. We just want to watch the game. We don't want to think about how we might be intentionally or unintentionally contributing to these problems. which is the sinful degradation of human life wherever it is found, including those living, precious, God-woven human beings in the womb. A key ingredient for a happy marriage, and indeed any thriving relationship, is piety. Piety. While piety might not be a word that we use every day, it holds a powerful meaning. Piety is about choosing to love with truth, even when the feelings of love are not there. Let me repeat that. Piety is about choosing to love with truth, even when our feelings of love are not there. And if we're honest, especially as we grow older, our feelings may not run as deep or as often as we would like, sometimes making us a bit callous. Every marriage needs piety in which the couple chooses an attitude of love, even when their feelings of love are not there. Piety is about cultivating an attitude of deep reverence, wonder, and awe towards everyone that we encounter, whether it is our spouse, children, parents, classmates, teammates, or even strangers like the homeless person in Pella, the woman without health care, the worker in China making 80 cents a day, or the child in the womb. The biblical idea of piety is rooted in the realization that each and every person, no matter how big or small, rich or poor, alike or different from us, sinner or saint, young or old, born or unborn, sick or healthy, is someone God Himself has chosen to create. And God loves them into existence and made them in His image and likeness. That person is someone who God decided to become a human, and who Jesus gave His life. Every individual that we meet, Jesus poured out His precious blood. That person is truly a temple of the Holy Spirit, created in God's own image and likeness. God loves that individual and wishes for them to be transformed and to share in His glorious presence. Yet, so often, human beings stand in the way of God. We destroy life that God has lovingly created. And that should never be a choice. Never. Not among Christians, nor in our greater culture and society. Ending the life of an innocent person, including those in the womb, should never be a choice. Never, nowhere, with no one. Sadly, our culture is one of impiety. We forget or ignore the fact that there are no unimportant people. That's how we sinfully justify some wars. That's how we sinfully justify pornography. That's how we sinfully justify abortion. That's how we sinfully justify euthanasia. That's how we sinfully justify the degradations of people. That's how we justify the callousness towards the poor, homeless, prisoner, and the sick. That's how we justify the destruction of the planet. That's also how we sinfully justify saying, we just want to watch the game. We don't want to think about what's going on. It's because so many people are sinfully impious people. So what do we do as Christians? This is a challenge that goes way beyond quick fixes. But we can start here. guided by the Holy Scriptures and Holy Spirit, we explored today, especially 1 Corinthians. Let's begin by practicing piety daily, setting as a simple goal to honor everyone in our lives, whether we feel like it or not, showing godly love and truth to everyone that we meet, whether we feel like it or not, whether it's our spouse, children, parents, co-worker, classmates, neighbors, or even someone that we've just met, including the mother, the unborn baby, the stranger, the poor, and the sick. Every person that we encounter deserves our reverence, wonder, and awe. Showing them this piety and giving them this piety are meaningful steps forward. Second, I want to preface this second point with this. Life is never political. Again, life is never political. Yet, in our culture, we have made it political. So to save lives, we need to use political means. And we as Christians must vote in a way that saves lives in any way that we can and work tirelessly to end abortion. If we can't show love, respect, and care for even the smallest and most vulnerable and innocent children at the start of life, then our efforts to address other major issues like pollution, healthcare, or economic challenges lack sincerity and depth. As voters, we don't just focus on single issues, but this one stands out because it reflects the heart of God's love for life as He is the Creator, and that life comes from God. While other problems are also very significant and deserve our attention, this issue is fundamental. It touches the very core of human dignity, the well-being of society, and sets the stage for our attitude towards God and the crown of His creation, which is humanity. And third, we need to be prepared to take compassionate actions to support those facing difficult choices. This could mean offering help to a single mother or a single father, or to a family struggling to support their own children, opening our hearts through adoption or fostering, or backing laws that promote the nurturing of life. As followers of Christ, we are called to love and support each person, mirroring God's own love and truth for us. May the Lord guide us to let go of childish ways, and instead, may we mature in our Christian faith and walk as His children and focus on love and truth that reflects His covenantal love. Let's turn away from the distractions like games and instead reflect on what truly matters. May God's love inspire us all to love with genuine compassion and grace. For your life matters. For their lives matter. As Christians, we are called to so much more than being spectators who just want to watch the game. We are called to be in the game, fighting the enemies of God and the enemies of life, and establishing God's ways and kingdom and church, not just in the church, but throughout our greater society and culture. So what are you waiting for? There are lives literally at stake. So get into the game for God. Get in the game. Ever since 1973, I can give you 65 million reasons to get in the game. The loss of life is tremendous. God wants you to get in the game. One thing, though, that sometimes gets in our way is a statement that I hear from many Christians. So I have faith. I have faith. Now, don't get me wrong. Faith is an excellent thing. But if we are using our faith to get out of our responsibilities, if we are using our faith to get out of the game, that's a very wrong idea of faith. Faith leads to action. Faith leads to getting in the game. May it be so. In the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen. I'd ask that you please pray with me. Lord God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we are grateful, O Lord, that you have given us life and being, and you preserve us by your providence. Your love is for all life, and it is truly remarkable. You have lovingly placed us in our mother's womb because you care so deeply for your people. As you cherish and honor all of life, especially human life, please help us also to love and honor every single person from conception to a natural last breath, as you desire. Lord, no one is made by mistake. No one is ever weaved together in the womb by mistake. You, O Lord, have created them. You have made them, even in the womb, in your image and likeness. God, help us to honor all of life. Help us, Lord, to have piety towards those in the womb, towards all those outside the womb, towards the poor, the hurting, the downcast, the outcast, the foreigner. Lord, every person, no matter where they are found, are deserving of respect, of honor, of awe, and of wonder. And we ask, O Lord, that when we have not done this, when we have not fought for this, forgive us. But Lord, we ask that in your forgiveness, mercy, and grace, we will be strengthened to get into the game and to act. Amen.